thankful for everyone that's here this morning.
Amen.
Thankful for the visitors.
Amen.
Pray for me that the Lord will have his way in the service.
Yes, amen.
I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about reasoning with God. We want to take our text of scripture from Isaiah 1, verse 18. We want to just use the beginning of the scripture. It says, come now and let us reason together. When God created us, he had a purpose in mind to be able to communicate with his creation. And he made in us the power to be able to reason. And he wanted to reason with us and talk with us and enlighten us and have people that he could commune with, have fellowship with. We are, in all of his creation, we are the only ones that can be reasoned with. The others work, other creation works on instinct, works on things that God set in order when he started everything off. The seasons go the same, the seed time and harvest, the replenishing of the earth, the rain and all that comes, the sunshine, the animals and all of their migration habits and all of the things that they do. It's all done by the order of God. He set it in motion, and it has not ceased to be that way since he set it in motion. But with man, it is different. With man, he desired a being that he could love and communicate with, could love him back, that could reason with him, and he'd be able to reason with us. And it is a wonderful thing that we have, that God can talk to us like that. We know how that in the garden, that the Adam and Eve, we see how that they reasoned. They had that ability to reason, but they didn't keep it all centered upon God. They began to reason with other forces, with other things. They began to reason in their own mind. They began to reason, and they came up with other ideas. Do you know that will happen to all of us? If we get in the habit of reasoning without the help of the Lord, we will come up with many ideas, many plans, many thoughts, but they won't be God's thoughts. So we want to go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We want to start at the 11th verse down through the 16th verse. It said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. What it's telling us is that man has their own spirit. They have their own way of looking at things. Before God gets a chance to talk with them and deal with them, from the time they're little children, they have this reasoning power. And even though the Lord comes in and tries to deal with even small children, the enemy also comes to deal with small children. And teaches them all manner of things. Teaches them the easier way. Teaches them the disobedient way. Teaches them all these things. And so we find that in a man, his own spirit, he begins to trust in. Now, of course, we know that it's only, we come into this world, we have no reasoning. We have no understanding at all. We are completely defenseless and have no way of conducting our life. So everything that we have learned from somewhere. There are only two forces in the world. It's only good versus evil. It's only God versus Satan. So one or the other has taught us something. Now it may come through family, may come through friends, playmates, whatever. But young children learn things. Their children hopefully teach them what disobedience is and that they shouldn't do it this way or that way. But even the most well-minded of parents can make mistakes and teach things that they have their own reasoning about. And begin to teach them that it's all right to do this because of this. And even though it normally would be wrong, but because this happened, then it makes it all right. They teach them a little bit of deceit. I cheat a little bit on my taxes. I don't call it that. That isn't what I do. But I just don't declare everything. I leave it to the side a little bit. I take it under the table, a little bit of cash here and there, and don't declare it. And they begin to teach their children the reasoning of man. And so man is full of his own reasoning, things that he has learned from the enemy and through the enemy, through his parents and playmates and others, that the enemy has had success in deceiving. So the man doesn't know anything except the spirit that's in him. He didn't come into the world with anything. He had to learn it all. So consequently, all of us here this morning in this room learned everything we know. Some of it has been very, very good, but some of it has not. And we have found out over time, as we live for the Lord, we have found out that many of the things we learned were not good for us. Many of the things that we thought were good things about us, good traits that we had, inside, the inner man, I feel good about myself. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. But we found out that it was mixed up with my own spirit and my own reasoning and my own understanding. And so it wasn't pure before God. It says also, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Listen, when we start to understand God and we start to understand his things, it's the Spirit of God that will reveal truth about him. But you know, there are many people that will tell you things about God that are not true. They will tell you things that is not true about God. There are many, many sayings out in the world that we have heard our whole life. I get a lot of questions. People call me and ask me a lot of questions. Where do you find this in the Bible? And I have to tell them, it's not in there. But they have heard this saying their whole life. God helps those who help themselves. But it's not in there. God doesn't expect us to help ourselves. He expects us to depend upon him and to do what he says. And to do the things that he says are right to do in the word of God. That's what he expects. But many men have sought out many inventions and thoughts and ideas and ways that they want to do it. And because of that, men's idea and conception of God has become twisted over the centuries of time. There have been wars fought over God. You know that God did not intend after Jesus came to have wars fought over his name. He said, to bring peace. He wanted to bring, but he also said that there would be not things that are not so peaceful, but he meant that when we receive Christ as we should and as we live for him, it means that other people aren't going to understand and they're going to shun us. Yeah. They're not going to want to be with us. And so that's where the separations and things come. Yeah. We're not wars, not whole wars and whole people completely annihilated because they don't go the way that I think they should worship God. That is not God's way. So it goes on in the 12th verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. We haven't received the spirit of the world. You know why? We already had the spirit of the world. We already were involved in everything that the world had to offer. We already had that spirit. That was already moving in us. That was already taking over. That was already causing us to walk in ways that were not right, causing us to sin, causing us to go against God in many areas. We already had the spirit of the world. He says, but it says the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, the Spirit of God. Oh, there is a deep, deep well that we can draw from in God. He has given us many, many, many things. But it's going to take God for us to be able to have it. It's going to take God for us to be able to understand it. He's freely given it to us. He's opened up his kingdom. He's opened up his word. He's opened up the heaven And he's willing for all of heaven to back us up and be with us.
Yes,
but in all of that, we have to lay down what we knew before.
Amen.
God says, let's reason together.
Yes.
Let me talk to you a little bit about this. There are some things that you don't understand. You've got it a little mixed up. You don't quite see it as clearly as you should.
Yes.
And he wants to teach us better. Aren't you glad God can reason with us?
Yes.
We would be at such a loss if all we were able to get is just the name of Jesus. If all we were able to get is salvation, but we didn't ever have God talk to us again, that we would be in a very pitiful state, wouldn't we? I don't know about you, but when we get saved, when I got saved, I didn't know very much. Did you? Did you know very much about living for God? No, you knew a lot about living for the world. You knew a lot about the spirit of the world. You had a lot of your own ideas and your own things, and you spouted those out freely. But as God over the years has talked to you and perfected you and reasoned with your mind, you have come to understand that a lot of the things you believed and a lot of the things that you knew were not of God.
Amen.
They were human reasoning.
Yes.
They were things that the devil had twisted about God and that you readily accepted because that's the world you were in. You were in the spirit of the world. In 13 it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Yes.
Do you know that you can never get things to work if you compare spiritual with worldly? It's never going to quite balance out or work right. Many people want to compare themselves among themselves. And they want to look at somebody that has just maybe started out for the Lord or isn't very far along the Lord or maybe isn't obeying the Lord quite like they should. And they want to compare themselves to them. And they want to say, well, I'm doing so much better. And I have a lot that I have to offer. And I look at them. But that's not wise, dear ones.
No.
We have to compare spiritual with spiritual. It said that we are to become like Christ. So we're to compare our life to Christ. Spiritual with spiritual. Now, when you begin to compare your life to Christ, you're going to come up much shorter than you would if you're comparing it to somebody else beside you. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word, to let God reason with us and be able to compare spiritual with spiritual. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There are many people out there that the natural men that try to read the Bible, dispute the Bible. They read it in order to dispute it. They read it in order to tear it down. And they don't have the Spirit of God. So it sounds like foolishness to them. But they can't know. It's spiritually discerned. The word is living. And it can mean many things at any given time in your life. You can read a scripture for many, many years and get good out of it. But there may be something you're going through at a certain time. And it may be that you read that scripture again and it opens up a wealth of understanding and enlightenment that you had never gotten before. It is the living word.
Yes, it is.
It is not discerned by those that are not spiritual. Because the mind that is spiritual, God can reason with and can explore the word with and can teach you many deep things of God. Not just the surface things, but the deep things of God. But it takes a spiritual mind. God has to be able to reason with you. It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now listen, if we have the mind of Christ, how did we get the mind of Christ? He reasoned with you. He talked with you. He enlightened you. He opened up things to you, and your mind began to take on new understanding and new concepts of what God had to offer. He was able to reason with us. I'm so glad that He created us with a mind that He could reason with.
Amen.
Where would we all be today if He hadn't been able to reason with us through the years? If He hadn't been able to change things about us? If He hadn't been able to expose things that we had wrong reasoning about? There are many things that we think are good reasoning, but they're not.
Lord, help us.
Because we discovered them and were enlightened with them and all when we were out there in sin, before we came to the Lord. And we have to lay down all of that old reasoning and take up the new. And how do we go about that? How does that happen? Proverbs 9, verses 8 through 12. It says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Rebuke a wise man. Down in verse 10 of this same passage, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy and knowledge of the holy is understanding." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning, then did you have any wisdom at all before you found God?
Mm.
Did you have any at all?
Mm.
Oh,
Lord, help us.
There were bits and pieces scattered throughout all of the worldly reasoning and all of your own reasoning and your own excuses and your own justifications.
Yes.
See? There were bits and pieces and things that you were taught, maybe from a grandmother or a mother or a father, an aunt, an uncle, somebody, and they would give you these tidbits of wisdom, and they would be true, but then you would take them and you would reason with them yourself, and you would turn them and twist them until they fit what you wanted it to mean. That's what we do. That's what this reasoning mind can do. It's what it's capable of. God wants to be the one reasoning. And it says here, if you rebuke a wise man, so if you rebuke a wise man is one that fears God. That's a wise man. Until then, he's not wise. But a wise man is one that fears God. If you rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Do you love the Lord when He rebukes you?
Lord, help us.
Do you love the Lord when He chastises you, when He tells you something, when you're praying and you're pleading your case or your cause or whatever it is that you're talking with the Lord about, and He begins to talk with you right in the middle of your prayer and saying, "Well, but this, this, and this, you're not doing this quite right." What? I'm not. And isn't it wonderful how that He can reason with your mind like that, and you can know immediately that it is God talking to you?
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
That you can get that and get a hold of that. And it's not something like where you throw it out and you say, "Oh, where did that thought come from?" Or that doesn't, you know. No, a wise man that fears God, that has the Spirit living within him, when you rebuke a wise man, He loves the one that rebukes him. He doesn't fight against him. He doesn't think bad things about him. Listen, did we learn that? Did we learn that? Because when we first got saved, sometimes we were rebuked here and there through many different ways, through many different avenues. And we didn't like it so much.
Right.
We didn't love the one that told us so much.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember how that even in that time, how God reasoned with your mind and said, "Well, you may not like it, but it's true."
Yes.
You remember Him telling you things like that? Oh, yes. God is so good to reason with our mind. Even when our mind starts to go the wrong way and down the wrong path,
yes,
He will reason with you to bring it back where it needs to be. It said, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Now, isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Gives us instruction, teaches us. Didn't it say He would bring all things to our remembrance?
Yes,
Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is for?
Yes.
That we can have Him living in us and through us so that we can have that teacher and that guide all the time. And don't you hear those inner reasonings day in and day out? As you're going about your day, as you're going about here or there, or whatever you have to do, the business you have to do, working, jobs, whatever, don't you hear the Lord throughout your day reasoning with your mind? But who else is reasoning with your mind? Oh, that reasoning mind can also hear the other spirit, can hear the spirit of the enemy. And he's trying to reason with us all day too. He's trying to spark interest. He's trying to get us down a path. He's trying to give us an excuse or a reason to do it this way. He's trying to justify this or justify that. He's trying to lead us down a pathway also. Aren't you glad that God's reasoning power, that you can discern between the two? Oh, it's a learning, isn't it? Because in the beginning, you weren't so clear. It wasn't so clear about who was talking to me and who wasn't. And there was many times the enemy would accuse and abuse and the Lord wasn't in it at all. There were many times that the enemy would come and justify this or justify that. But eventually God would be able to reason with you in the quiet times, in your devotion time, maybe through the night as you wake up. He would be able to reason with you and correct that misunderstanding. Aren't you glad He can do that with us?
Yes.
But what are we going to have to do? It says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scorneth, thou shalt alone shalt bear it." In other words, we have choices, dear ones. We can accept the reasoning power of God. We can accept Him chastising us. We can accept Him rebuking us and give us instruction. We can accept all of that. And if we do, then God will perfect us each and every day. We will become more like Christ.
Amen.
More like Him each and every day. And that's what God is after. He is after those that are willing to follow His Son in the earth. Willing to follow what He taught. Where did Christ get what He taught? He got it from the Father. He never took any of the glory to Himself. He always referred back to the Father. He always let everyone know, "I didn't get this of my own. This came from my Father." We're so thankful that God made us reasoning beings. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found." Oh, dear ones, we heard in Sunday school this morning that God comes after every soul. And He works with every soul. And He wants to redeem every soul. He wants to save every soul.
Yes.
He reasons with them, talks with them. He does everything He can to enlighten them along life's pathway. And many, many times, people recognize God is talking to them.
Yes.
They recognize it. But they put it off.
Yes.
They say, "Not now. I want to do this, and I want to accomplish that, and I want to finish this, and I have a love for that, and later, I'll come to you later." But we find out that when we put off God, there sometimes it takes a long time before there's another convenient season.
That's true.
Why? Because it takes God to draw us. He has to draw us in. He has to be the one to pull and tug at us. And help us to understand that now is your time. And this is what it's, "Seek ye the Lord while you may be found." This is when God is calling. When He's reaching out. And He's touching your heart. And He's pleading with you. And He's reasoning in your mind. Because He made that mind to where He could talk in it. And so He's reasoning in that mind. It says, "Seek Him then while He can be found." See, He's right there. He's right there. Many people pass up those opportunities. And then later, they have a desire to get out of the troubles, get out of the way of life, get out of something, the way the enemy has led them down pathways, and they start seeking and looking and everything, but they can't seem to find God. Because God has to draw us, dear ones. It says, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. See, when he's near, when he's reasoning with you, talking with you, when he's near to you, that's the time to find him. It will be the easiest time of your life to come to God. When he's talking to you right there, when he's near to you, when he's reasoning in your mind, it will be the easiest entrance into the kingdom that you can find. He will be right there. He's picked the time. He's picked the season. He knows exactly what's coming up in your life. He knows what's going to happen just in the near future. He knows what you've already just been through. He knows this is your time, child. This is your time. Come to me. Come to me. At that time, while he can be found and while he's near. It said, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. So the wicked are going to have to forsake their ways. All the ways that they reasoned were good. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, there were some things that I thought were I had that were good. But do you know they were not perfected in the Lord? And I had to eventually throw out those things because they didn't serve me well. And I had to let God perfect it to make it into something that can be useful in the kingdom of God, be useful to me, maybe be useful to others. So it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Oh, we're righteous and we have to give up our thoughts? Oh, yes, you do. Because do you know that all those thoughts through the years that you were out there in sin, the devil piled up on top of, he tried to give you many proofs and many reasonings and everything. He would work and do things, and it would look like that you followed that wisdom and it worked. But it won't work in the kingdom. Because it's from the wrong source.
Yeah.
It isn't going to work because it's always filtered through a little bit of deception, a little bit of untruth, a little bit of something. And that can't work in the kingdom of God. It has to be truth that works here. So it said, let the righteous man forsake his thoughts. The way you think about it. How many times has the Lord confounded you when you were praying for something? And you were praying and you were praying and you were praying. And when he finally answered, it didn't look anything like what you thought was going to happen. Your thoughts. The way you see it. The way you think he could do it. How many times have you prayed for loved ones and you have said, Lord, you know, it seems like that if this could happen or if that could happen, they would turn to you. But that didn't happen. And this didn't happen. And then this little tiny thing over here. It doesn't look like much at all, little tiny insignificant thing, and it so affects them that they turn to God. Have you ever seen the way that God reasons, see, with a soul? We have our thoughts, but they are not God's thoughts at all. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Return to God. Return to God. Come to God. God is the answer for every problem. The Bible is the word of God, and it has and contains answers for every problem.
Amen.
Oh, the Lord is so good. He is so abundantly full of mercy. He is so willing to pardon. Even as we go along in this life, and as things come up, and maybe we make a wrong choice, and maybe we have a little bit of wrong judgment and all, isn't God gracious? to come to us and reason with us and help us to see this is not the right way. It's a different way. It needs to be different than this. He's so good to us. He abundantly pardons us. He wants to pardon people. He wants to come into people's life. He does not hold things against them from the past. Oh, aren't you glad? Because if he held things against us, none of us would be worthy. We're not worthy now, but it's not because we didn't do anything, that we did such horrible things. It's because Jesus forgave us. Then we're worthy to be in his kingdom. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, listen, dear ones, we have a lot of thoughts, don't we? We have thoughts going on all day long. And the Lord is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Get in touch with me. Keep in touch with me. Keep the word on your mind. Keep a prayer in your heart. Keep your mind centered upon God so that you can hear his thoughts. Because your mind is going to be full of thoughts through the day. So where are they coming from? Where are they going? What's happening? What's going on? We need to understand that God wants to be the center of our thoughts. And he wants us to know that all of your reasoning power and all that you can possibly imagine is not my thoughts. We are at a disadvantage. We can't see the future. We can't see into men's lives. We can't discern the thoughts and the intents of their hearts. But God can do all those things. He's at a great advantage. So we put our trust in him. Isn't it after a while? In prayer many times we have told God this and that and tried to tell him all about it. And isn't it wonderful how God begins to talk to us and he begins to explain things and it changes. It changes. It's not what we were thinking at all. It's totally different because he says, your thoughts aren't like my thoughts. I understand everything. I understand the whole circumstance. I understand everything that's going to happen through the circumstance. I understand it all.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I understand the things that you don't see. The things that you haven't even considered, I have already looked at and understand and know. And I am working from my thoughts, not from yours. Aren't you glad God can reason with our minds and get us to the place to where we don't trust in our own wisdom anymore? We don't trust in our own thoughts anymore. We just trust in him. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your higher. My ways are so much more higher than yours. Sometimes we can't see our way out of a problem. God's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than that. There isn't anything that God can't work with. There isn't anything that he can't do unless we get in the way and say no. But if we turn loose and we allow him to move us and direct us and guide us and teach us and move us around in life the way he wants to, there isn't anything he can't accomplish that he wants to accomplish in this life. We can know this for sure. God is after every soul. He wants every soul to be saved. And he reasons with every soul. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Have you found that to be true? Are his ways past finding out? About the time you think you have God figured out, he opens up a whole new realm. A whole new place where you go, oh, I didn't even consider that. Aren't you glad he does that? Our minds He is able to reason with our minds, but our minds are limited. They only remember so much. They only retain so much. There's only so much that it can compute at a time. There's only so many things that can be going on at a time before we get very, very confused.
Yes.
But God can enter into the confusion.
Yes.
And he can speak a word, and it's like all the fog clears away.
Yes, that is so true.
He is greater than all of our knowledge. The depths of his riches.
Yes.
They're unsearchable. His judgments, unsearchable. Mm-hmm. Oh, there are many times, I know, there are many times that we've all looked on things and all said, well, Lord, it looks like they're on their way out. It looks like they're finished. It looks like they're never going to be saved. And then the Lord saves them and you think, how did he do that? How did that work? How? With all the places this person had gone and what he had said and what he was believing, how did you get a hold of him there? Because he can. Because he's God. He understands the man inside and outside. He understands the workings of his mind. He understands how to speak to him in terms that he understands. Not the things we want to tell him, but there's things God wants to tell him. Or who hath first given to him, 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? In other words, have you been God's counselor? I think we've tried, haven't we? Haven't we tried to be God's counselor?
Lord, help us.
Lord, it looks like that so-and-so and so-and-so. It looks like, it seems like we've tried to counsel God and how this seems like it should go, and what should happen here, and the timetable, and everything else. It looks right. We've tried to counsel God.
Lord.
Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, through him, to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything we need, everything every soul on this earth needs is all in God. But in order to have it, in order to get it, we have to lay down our earthly wisdom, our earthly reasonings, our earthly understandings, because they do not match up with God, because his are much higher than ours. They haven't been tainted by the devil and all of his imps and all of his reasoning and all of his excuses that he gave you throughout your life. God's reasoning hasn't been tainted by that. We have been tainted.
Yes.
But God was never tainted by it. His reasoning is so far above ours. So Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Do you think that we're learning that? Do you think that we're finally, maybe over several years, maybe over a lifetime, we're finally getting a hold of that I can't lean into my own understanding? My understanding will fail me. You ever notice when you enter into a problem, there are some things that pop up right away, some ways to handle it. You should do this, 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 really quick. And most of the time, those are not the right way to go. God, if you need a fast answer, he will give it to you. But if you want to answer fast, you better wait on the Lord. See, there's a difference. If you just want to answer fast, you're going to answer the wrong thing. But if you're willing to wait on him, he will give you the answer that's needful and that will work, that will enlighten, that will bring peace, that will bring understanding. He will give you the right thing. There are not very many times that we need a quick answer. But we as people want to give a quick answer. And we have to learn to wait on the Lord. says, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths in all your ways. Isn't that in the beginning what happened to us? We were willing to give some things to the Lord right away. Oh, I want out of this trouble. And I'll let you direct me in that thing. But you know, I'm doing pretty good over here. I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty satisfied with this part of my life. But it says in all your ways. And after a while, we learned that even our understanding and our knowledge and everything of that little place we thought was doing okay, we found out it wasn't going right. That it had pitfalls and traps and things stuck in it that we were going to come in contact with, and we needed the Lord. We needed to empty out our own reasoning, our own understanding. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The devil, from the time you were small, started telling you that you saw things better than other people. You understood things better than other people. He tried to tell you that you were smarter than other people. He tried to tell you, look what they're doing. Even you, you know better than to do that. He started trying to build up your reasoning, your own mind. Because why was the enemy doing that? Because he wanted to have a foothold. So when God finally got a hold of you, that God was going to have to go through all of that reasoning thing, all that knowledge, all that worldly thoughts and ideas that you have, he was going to have to wade through it and throw them out one by one. Deal with them one by one till you came to the knowledge and the understanding of what God's truth is, what his mercy looks like, what his love looks like, what his forgiveness looks like. We all have our own idea of those things. What his honesty looks like. What his purity looks like. See, we can think we're a pretty pure person. And then Jesus taught us that if you just look on a woman to lust after, you've committed something already in your heart. Oh, we thought we were pretty good people. Because we were reasoning with the wrong force. And we were taking all of that in and reasoning with ourselves. Now God wants to reason with us. We need to allow God to come in and reason with us. He built us, made us to have the capacity to reason with our Maker, the Almighty God. That he can speak and we can hear him. To reason with our mind. It is such a wonderful thing. But we're going to have to lay down all of our other reasoning. We're going to have to lay down what we think and how we think it ought to go and what we think ought to happen. We're going to have to lay it all down and seek the Lord with our whole heart to find out what does he want. He says in one place, let us reason. Let us come and reason together. It says, and then I think that was back in Isaiah. Let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. It can change. It can change in an instant. But you're going to have to come when he's talking to you. When he's near. When he's right there making it the easiest it's ever going to be for you. You have to come then. You have to do something then. Lay aside our own and let God reason with us.
Amen.
Amen.